Let's pray. Father, that really is our heart's desire this morning. Open our eyes, open our ears. We want to see you. We want to see you in a brand new way. We want to see you in a transformed way. Revive your church, O God, so that our hearts cry out daily, we want more of you, O God. We want more of you, Jesus. We want more of your Spirit. Revive us, O Lord, we pray. Help us to listen. Help us to listen for that still small voice of the Master, bidding us come, cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. Help us to listen when you have directives for us, when you have roles for us, responsibilities. Help us to listen to the voice that speaks to us. Help us to see you, hear you, know you more, Lord Jesus. Father, today many around the globe will recognize that there is much persecution in the church. Even in America, persecution is coming in many different forms. But around the globe, there are people dying on a daily basis because they say, I'm going to follow Jesus. We want to pray for the persecuted church today, O Lord. Strengthen, encourage, heal, comfort. Visit those in chains, help them to feel your presence. Those that have lost their family members, those that have suffered loss of life, limb, houses and churches. Comfort them, Father, and use them to your glory. May you be glorified, Father, through your church. May you be glorified through the persecuted church. I do pray, Father, for the church here in America that we would be ready and available to be used by you. And even if and when persecution does happen, may we be steadfast in our faith in you, the living God. May we always be ready to have a word for the testimony that is within us. May we not be ashamed. May we not be bashful. But may we, the church in North America, stand up for Jesus. People around the globe are standing up for you. May we do the same. And so, Lord, I pray and we pray for the persecuted church today. And I pray that you would do great and mighty things through the church, persecuted and unpersecuted. Do great and mighty things to bring you glory. We do pray, Father, for our own communities, for those in the prayer focus, for our nation. May thy will be done. Use your church to bring you glory, O God, I pray. Us here in Motley, but your church all over, use us to bring you glory. Today and always, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, because it is the International Day of the Persecuted Church, I wanted to show two short videos. The one is a little longer than the other, and I don't normally show too many videos, but I want us to get a sense, or a real sense, of what it's like to live in persecution. And so we are going to start this morning with two short videos. These come from Open Doors Ministry. And so listen closely. You will hear the story. You will see the faces, and you will hear the message here. Persecution of Christians around the globe is very, very real. And so we're going to start with these little videos, and then I will share some scripture after that. Simon, go ahead.
It wasn't long ago that I had the privilege of spending some time with a remarkable lady called Haewoo. She's North Korean, 70 years old, and hands down, one of the most energetic people I've ever met. But Haewoo's life has been full of trauma. in 1997, in the midst of a great famine in North Korea. Haewoo's daughter, in her mid-20s, starved to death in her own home. Haewoo's husband escaped to China. He found God. But sadly, he was caught by the secret police. And 6 months later, he died in a North Korean prison camp. Haewoo said to me, "I was shocked to hear that my husband had become a Christian. But instinctively, I knew that he had found the truth." It wasn't too long after this that Haewoo herself escaped to China. And like her husband, through a series of events, became a Christian. Haewoo was caught by the secret police. She was repatriated to North Korea and placed into a prison camp. As I spent time talking with Haewoo about life in these prisons, death so rampant that bodies would lay on the ground for 3 or 4 days without being cleaned up. Stories of mental and physical abuse that would make you sick to the pit of your stomach. I couldn't help but wonder, what is it about people like Haewoo that makes them risk everything for the privilege of being in a relationship with Jesus? But more than that, what would I risk for the same privilege? You see, in the middle of one of the darkest places on earth, Haewoo chooses to do something so radical, so dangerous, and so Christ-like. She said to me that in the middle of this prison, God gave her a heart to evangelize, to tell my fellow prisoners about Jesus. And so right here in the middle of a North Korean labor camp, a secret fellowship, a secret church begins. You know, I was recently asked one of those questions that stays with you for weeks, one of those questions that kind of reverberates around your mind and captures your every thought. You see, someone asked me, if Jesus Christ walked the earth today, would you follow him? You see, Jesus Christ was radical. The way he spoke, the way he taught, every single thing he did was radical, but absolutely incredible. You know, this idea of this smiling, happy Jesus, it gives you everything, but calls you to nothing. It just doesn't sit right. It's stories like Haewoo and other people who are regularly persecuted for their faith that brings a perspective unlike anything else. People who obediently, selflessly, and courageously follow Jesus. Haewoo had a church in a place so putrid that no one dare go near them. Inside a prison, where if caught, you would be tortured and killed without exception. You see, we serve Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and a radical. And our response to that should be to uncompromisingly, unashamedly, and passionately follow him, whatever the cost.
I was cut off from my community because of my parents' faith. As a child, nobody wanted to play with me. As a teenager, I was kidnapped. They held me, unconscious for 10 days. I asked God, why did they hurt me so much? His words cut me with surgical precision and exposed the wounds to His healing light. You don't see my scars, but I was cut by life. You don't see my tears, they are in God's hand. I know you are there, praying to the same Father. I am Reena, your 19-year-old sister from India. Thanks to you, my cuts give me the strength to follow Jesus. I don't see you, but you see me.
I don't know how aware you are of Christian persecution around the globe, but I wanted you to see those testimonies this morning because maybe you're not that aware. Maybe you're not aware that hundreds of people die every month. Every month. Simply because they're Christians. Maybe you're not aware that over 200 churches are burned every month because of persecution. Maybe you're not aware that every month, according to Open Doors, nearly 800 violent crimes happen against Christians around the globe. When I say violent crimes, like Reena, that would be a violent crime. There are 800 of those a month. Rape and beatings, forced weddings, all kinds of ugliness. And I'm not sure we in the West are aware. I hope we care. Christian persecution is very, very real. It has been since Jesus was here. And will continue to be until He comes back. And so I wanted us to be aware today, this being the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, I wanted us to be aware of two things. Number one, it's real, it's happening, and we should be in prayer for them. And number two, to ask ourselves, like was asked at the end of the first video, am I really willing and ready to follow Jesus? Because in North Korea, you heard what happens. If they find out you're a Christian, that's just one of many nations that kind of thing happens to. America, we don't get thrown in jail yet. It may come, I suppose. But I want us to ask ourselves, how far are we willing to follow Him? Because if your Christian faith is only skin deep and you're not willing to go where these two have gone, then you've got to ask yourself, are you even following? Because followers around the world are called to follow, no matter if it means death. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 16 to 22. Here's what He said. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men. Because He said, they will deliver you. From the time that He was here until the time that He comes back, there will be people, because of your faith, that will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, Jesus said, and as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Now verse 21 says, there will come a time when you put your faith in Christ, all the way from when He was here before until He comes back, that brother will deliver up brother to death. It happens all the time. I've read countless books about persecution, and in the Middle East, and in even North Korea, families will give up their own families that come to Christ. Jesus said, brother will deliver brother to death, and a father his child. Can you envision that for a moment? Because your child has come to faith in Christ and you're not of that persuasion, or you're not in agreement with that, you will deliver them up to death. It's happening and it's real. It happens all the time. It has been for 2,000 years. Children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. I mentioned to you some time ago, Tom Doyle wrote some books. He spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and one of them is called Killing Christians. And it's full of stories where family members have turned their own family over to death. In some cases, family members have killed them themselves because they have put their faith in Christ. Jesus goes on further in that same Matthew 10 account, and you will be hated by all. Why? For my name's sake, the name of Jesus. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Now listen to me for a minute, friends. I realize just because we live in America and have not experienced a savagery against Christians to the degree that many countries have does not mean it's not real. It's real. It's been real for 2,000 years. The Bible is full of scriptures that reference if and when we decide to follow Christ, you will be persecuted. It's full of them. Let me quote to you Billy Graham from a number of years ago that was in his recent Decision magazine. And I quote, "Nowhere does the Bible teach that Christians are to be exempt from tribulation and natural disasters that come upon the world. It does not teach, it does teach that Christians can face tribulation, crisis, calamity, and personal suffering." Billy Graham also stated, "The early Christians were able to experience joy in their hearts in the middle of trials, in the middle of trouble and depression. They counted suffering for Christ not as a burden or misfortune, but as a great honor, as evidence that Christ counted them worthy to witness for him through suffering. They never forgot Christ, what Christ had gone through for their salvation, and to suffer for the name of Jesus was regarded as a gift rather than a burden." End quote. I wonder if that's where we're at in America today. Counting the suffering that may come as a gift rather than a burden. There is real persecution in America. We know that. We've seen some of the Christian publication headlines when it comes to cake bakers and flour makers and in places to have your weddings. We recognize that they're being taken to task and taken to court and being fined. And so we realize that persecution is happening in America. We realize that. But in North Korea, in Central Africa, in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in countries around the world, people are dying on a daily basis because they're Christians. And I wonder sometimes if we in America would count suffering for the name of Jesus as a privilege, or we're not willing to go there. People are being tortured and killed around the world on a daily basis. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12. He said, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." I'm thankful we're living in America. But I want us to be aware that just because we live in America and we're not going to be worked to death in a prison camp like people around the globe are, I want us to be aware of it's real. And we should be in prayer for the persecuted church. And number two, we must ask ourselves, am I willing to do the same if called upon? Yes, Paul told Timothy, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I don't know about you, friends, but I grow weary I grow weary of the notion that somehow because we live in America, we are exempt from persecution. We're not. I grow weary of the notion that sometimes I've heard and read where church leaders will say, well, you just have to claim prosperity and your life will be well. When there's people, there's brothers and sisters dying, being tortured to death and starved to death around the world. Just because we live in America doesn't mean we're better than they are. If we are going to follow closely after Jesus, it may cost you your life. That is a very much a reality to people around the globe. Jesus went further in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness." Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he said. Blessed are you in Matthew 5:11 when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my sake, Jesus said. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Do you see what Jesus says here, friends? We are blessed when we are persecuted. Not because, well, I think I live in America, so I should be. God has blessed us. God has seen fit to take care of our nation, praise be to God, in the past. And we have not been under the Christian persecution that other nations have. But that doesn't mean it's not real. If we as a nation continue on the path that we are on and continue to turn our back on God and suggest over and over and over in every avenue of life that we don't need Him, we may end up like these other nations where Christians are going to jail, Christians are being persecuted, Christians will die for their faith. And I simply ask us today, friends, will you stand up if persecution comes to your house? We need to thank God for the nation that we live in. And we need to remember those that are not in nations not like ours. The writer of Hebrews is the one that said in Hebrews 13:3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated. Why? Since you yourselves are part of the same body. That's why. I wonder how oftentimes we in the West are praying for the Christians in North Korea or China or the Philippines or Pakistan or India or the Middle East or Africa. The Bible instructs us to pray for them, not just on one day of the year, but the writer says, remember the prisoners as if chained right with them, all of those who are mistreated, because you yourselves are the body also. That's reason enough. We should be praying for them. And so I close with this. Even though we live in America, you will have to decide if you're a follower of Jesus or not. Whether you are persecuted like the people in North Korea or in the Middle East or someplace else or not, you will have to decide if I'm really going to follow Jesus. And if you say, yes, I really am going to follow Jesus, then you have to ask yourself, how far am I willing to follow? I'll tell you one thing, friends. When people say, I'm going to follow Jesus in a Muslim country or a communist country, it means something. It may very well mean their life, but they're going to follow Jesus anyway. Even when their family turns against them, when the government turns against them. And so I ask us this morning to consider, have you decided I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what? Only if persecution came would we be able to answer that question. If it came as real to us as it comes to Christians around the world. You have to decide. Am I going to follow Christ? Have I committed to follow Him no matter what? Not, this is just not a skin deep thing. This is not just, well, I was raised in a Christian home thing. This is not, well, my parents were Christians. This is not, I go to church once in a while. I have decided to follow Jesus no matter what. No matter of the persecution in college or in school that's happening in our colleges all over. Our young people are belittled over and over because they want to stand for Christ. You have to ask yourself, if the government turned against Christianity like it has around the globe, am I still going to follow Jesus or am I going to take the easy road out? How deep is your faith? Is Jesus real to you? If you were had the police storm your doors at your house today, and you're asked to renounce Christ, are you going to renounce Him and go to... Are you going to go to jail and say, I'm never going to renounce Him? You have to decide how, to what degree you're going to follow Jesus. And so today, in this day of the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, let us not only remember them, but let us do that for sure. But let us ask ourselves, is my faith really real? That I would stand the test if I was this North Korean lady that got to China, became a Christian, got brought back to North Korea and wouldn't renounce Christ and went into the labor camps and saw death every day, bodies stacked all over. How deep is your faith? Is it real or is it in word only? Let us pray. Father, your word from Jesus on reminds us that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and surrender our lives completely to you, Lord, that there may be difficult days. There may be betrayal. There may be hardship. There may be death. This is very real to the church around the globe, and Father, forgive us for not being mindful of that every single day. Forgive us for not remembering those in chain and those who are being mistreated because we are all part of your body. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, in America for feeling burdened when we have to go to church every Sunday. When Christians around the globe are dying to worship Jesus. Forgive us, Father, in America and the West for, well, I have to do this or I have to do that for Jesus, when all you've done is call us to follow. Forgive us, Father, for perhaps way too often our Christian faith is only skin deep. I pray that we would decide that we're going to follow Jesus in a radical new way. Surrendered. Transformed. Committed. And passionate to follow Jesus no matter what. And so today I pray, Lord, for the persecuted church. That you'd use her to bring you glory. And I pray for the church in the West, of which we in America make up. I pray that we would have the faith of the Christians in North Korean labor camps, in Pakistan, in India, in China, in the Philippines, in Vietnam, and 100 other places on the globe that are being persecuted every day. They don't know if they're going to live through tomorrow. They don't know if they'll have a home or a house. or a business or a church to go to, but they're going to follow Jesus. I pray, Father, that that kind of commitment would happen in the church in the West. I pray that we would be passionate about following you and not just in word only. And so lead us, O Lord, to pray for those that are persecuted and to be as surrendered as we can be and need to be to you no matter what happens. Guide us and direct us this week, and thank you for America. But help us, Lord, to be salt and light for you in this nation. Never ashamed of you, but passionately following, no matter if it is going against the tide. Equip us, O Lord, to be passionate followers of Jesus Christ, like the persecuted churches around the globe. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.